Weinschenk with the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. The Daily Music Break covers all music, regardless of era or genre. Please stop by to hear the music, get some context, and to sign up for some free email newsletters. We are thrilled today to be speaking with Greg Bishop, a musician who has an interesting story to tell. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon, Carl.
Thanks very much for joining us. To start with, Greg, if you can tell us where folks can get a hold of your music, where they can download it, that's always a great thing for people to know.
Okay, great. Well, it's available through all of the major download sources, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. And you can also buy physical CDs directly through me. You could email me at gregbishopmusic@gmail.com. You can also order them through CD Baby. They have physical CDs as well. And those are available through Amazon, through CD Baby. So it's a kind of multi-step thing you could avoid there if you want a physical CD.
Okay, that's great. I started out by saying that you have an interesting story to tell, and there will be some of your music will precede the podcast. You know, it'll be the introductory music for a minute or so. Tell us a little bit about what you're up to, Greg, and then we'll bat it back and forth a little bit.
Okay. Well, I come from a very varied background in music. I have a master's in classical flute. But then when I got out and started working in music, I started branching out and singing and songwriting and composing. And then I had someone come to me about a year ago. I had kind of let it all set for a little while, and then somebody came to me and said that you have a gift for healing in music. And I started to explore that. And there are a lot of sound healers doing incredible work out there. Two of the most famous are Tom Kenyon and Jonathan Goldman. And they're doing different style than I am. My styles vary, and it took me a while to kind of realize, oh, that this music can be healing, even if it's jazz or if it's classically oriented or like film music. So my goal is to uplift people and to help them find their calling and to inspire them to go out and find the healing that helps them be all that they can be in their potential and their purpose in life.
So when you say healing, are we talking about people who are ill? That's what I thought at the beginning, but then some of the things you said kind of at the end of your response was more sort of an inspirational type feel to it. What do you mean by healing, Greg?
Well, it's quite multidimensional, and there are people that are doing things that are specific for healing physical ailments, and I do believe that some of my music can have that effect, but I'm hearing more from people that it's more emotional or inspirational, like you said, or, you know, trying to help them seek out. I feel like this is a gift or a calling for me. and that I believe everybody has a gift or a calling. And so some of what has kind of revealed itself in my most latest project, the Soul Voyager album, is very obviously that. The words that have come to me for the songs are trying to encourage people and you know, tell them they're a miracle and help them, you know, try to get up every day and believe that. But some of the process can be emotional and, you know, healing old wounds. Or I've had people tell me when I played in public that they saw a friend who had died when they were young taken up to heaven, and they felt released from a sort of sense of guilt that they had that was part of the relationship, you know, things like that. So it's kind of mysterious, knowing exactly what's going on. But there are also, you know, lots of studies that have been done on brain function and learning and things where music also has an incredible effect on that. And that's one of the things I loved when I found your site, is all types of music, because I think a lot of us need to be challenged regularly, and I think it helps our intellectual power as well as being able to relate to more different cultures and different people, and mm-hmm. just helps us grow as beings.
Mm-hmm. Is there a religious element to this, Greg? It sounds like there sort of is, but there isn't. Is there a religious element here?
It's not specifically attached to any religion. In fact, one of the things in my studies looking into this, you know, I'm realizing almost every single religion and spiritual practice out there has music attached to it. You know, why is that? Why does every culture have music? And I think it has a spiritual element to it in that it taps us into our origins. And if you look at quantum physics, you know, they talk about everything is vibration. What we're sensing and seeing and everything, our reality of our world, is because we're tuned to certain vibrations. Well, music is organized vibration, and if it has the intent of being positive and uplifting and healing, then it's going to touch us in all those ways. So some of it is kind of mysterious. It's like, you know, they've measured things scientifically in laboratories and things, and, you know, brain scans and things, how music affects you. But there's a whole lot that we don't understand, and I'm almost more fascinated with all that than I am with knowing specifically what's going on. But I did grow up singing in choir in an Episcopal church, and felt a real spiritual connection with music early on. This original music that I do seems more like it comes right out of nature, and a lot of my earliest improvisation and composing was done out in the mountains of Idaho, where I grew up and I'm living now. So to me, it's a spiritual connection with everything that is alive, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. It's a pantheistic kind of thing, if I'm mm-hmm. remember yeah. my intro to sociology days, mm-hmm. which are a long time ago. So it sounds like you're saying that it's part. There are studies that would support that something is going on. You know, scientific studies that would support that there is something going on, that the music is doing something or having some impact of some sort, and at the same time, there's a whole lot that's not understood at all, that's beyond the science or tangential to the science. Is that accurate?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's an old quote, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but of Beethoven talking about how music is beyond science and philosophy and all these different things. It's a connection with a higher existence, mm-hmm. and it's our conduit, and I really feel that way, right. And that it is something that, you know, we kind of have commercialized and can make into something in, you know, I don't want to criticize different styles of music, but there's some of it that can be negative, you know,
Sure.
and I would encourage people to really sense what their body's telling them and what their spirit's telling them, what their heart's telling them when they're exposed to things that,
Right.
but sometimes when you're exposed to something that makes you uncomfortable, it may be because there's a place in your heart or somewhere that needs to be healed. So, you know, to try and tune into those intuitive kind of feelings.
So we're going to start hearing about the healing power of gangster rap at some point.
Absolutely.
I have an appointment with Lil Wayne. You know, I wonder if he takes GHI. So what
Get that anger out. That's
the,
the.
you know, there might be, there actually might be something to that.
There might be. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Well, I know a little bit about string theory, very, very, very little bit about string theory, which is the these this group of theories in advanced physics that would, I think, bring gravity. You know, what Einstein could never do and what all these folks could never do is account for gravity, I believe, in classical physics. And what string theory attempts to do is to include gravity, but it is this idea that everything is these vibrating strings that go into different dimensions. I mean, it's ridiculously obtuse and abstract, but it sounds like there could be some connection there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know, when I, for example, when I get inspired, I don't know exactly where it comes from. It just, you know, sounds just come to me. Sometimes I'll be waking from sleeping all night and I'll just hear things and I'll go, "Oh, I better go get that down." You know, and then I have to go, you know, do the due diligence and the work and develop it into something and actually play an instrument and those things. But, you know, the inspirations are, it's mysterious. How does it happen? And why does it happen? And where does it come from? You know, and I know, you know, very little about those concepts of physics, but that there's an idea that there are more than the reality that we are sensing. There is more, you know, that there are more levels that might be happening right here in this place. That we just can't feel it, see it, taste it. So.
It's all very interesting stuff. Now, when people play your music, bringing this back to kind of the less conceptual, is it classical sounding music, jazz sounding music, rock sounding music, or does it just go between all of them?
It goes between all of them. There's definitely a strong jazz influence. There's a strong classical influence. You know, that it's almost easiest to categorize it as film music, because in films you've got pop songs, you've got jazz songs, you've got classical orchestral things. So, you know, you can also have world music and various things. So I just write and develop whatever comes to me. And it's, you know, some people say, "Well, what style are you?" And it's like, I'm not quite sure what to tell them except for try it.
Right. Well, are all of the, and it's funny about film music, because film music's also made to go along with what's going on in the movie. So, yeah.
Right. And so, yeah, it's almost like it's film music for your moment, you
Right.
know. And you know, that one song might mean something, you know, very deeply to one person and something completely different to someone else.
Do you go between these different styles within a piece, or would it be a movement in a broader piece, or just right in the middle? Yeah, go from classical to jazz.
Can be both. I have some songs that are, you know, very obviously, you know, what might be categorized as smooth jazz from beginning to end, or Latin jazz from beginning to end. But I have other songs. I have one song on the Soul Voyager CD that starts off, with a symphony, and it sounds like a movie soundtrack, and then it goes into a kind of a bluesy piano thing, and then goes into something that, you know, the idea was to make almost music that sounded like a clock, and then it goes into a more sweeping symphonic ending with, and it also has vocals in it. So I play the flute and I sing, and when I compose, I'm playing keyboard, and a lot of times I'm layering different instruments, playing them through the keyboard. But so some songs are very much, you know, this one is, you know, Middle Eastern style, but, you know, there's one song, the title cut, Soul Voyager, is kind of some Middle Eastern harmonies mixed with jazz, mm-hmm. jazz combo with an orchestra, with a part in the middle that is slower and sounds like a movie score, emotional thing. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so all of the above.
It sounds ambitious. Now, you are a flutist with it. I'm going to get it wrong. Is it the Idaho State Orchestra?
I play principal flute with Opera Idaho.
Opera Idaho.
So it's the pit orchestra that accompanies the opera. We just last week performed Tchaikovsky, Eugene Onegin. Beautiful music. I also have played quite a bit with the Boise Philharmonic, which is quite a good orchestra. I do chamber music, but then I also do all these other styles as well.
Mm. My cousin is a oboist with the Grand Rapids Orchestra, so she'll be interested in this. Yeah, she's terrific. Have they performed your work, or is it?
No, they haven't. All the stuff that I have done so far has been mostly in the studio. So it's working like both of the CDs that are out under my name, Craig Bishop, were a collaboration with my brother, Theo, who's a keyboard player and has an incredible studio down in Southern California. And this latest one, actually, he was the main collaborator, but I also brought in two of my other brothers. So we have four Bishop brothers singing and playing, and my younger brother plays cello. My oldest brother is a singer-songwriter, producer, plays guitar, and he does some background vocals for me.
Mm-hmm.
How
do people you talk to relate to your music? Do they relate to it as music like they would to, you know, any classical or jazz piece? Or do they relate to it in terms of this healing aspect that obviously is the main thing for you? How does that work?
Probably most people just come to it from a musical standpoint. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think I'm kind of pioneering a little bit in, that because most healing music has kind of an Eastern Tibetan bowls and chanting and things like that. So to do it as a more Western style, just songwriter or composer, is kind of an unusual thing. And most people do come at it as, I just like this music. I like variety in my music. I like jazz. I've also had a lot of people come to me and who were exposed personally, who, you know, one of my favorite compliments is, this is a style of music that I don't really, you know, I'm not interested in, or I don't like the flute. And then they'll come back to me and go, wow, I've never heard the flute played like that before. I really like this style. And I, you know, so most people come at it, to answer your question and not be a politician, just to say they most come at it purely musically. But I've also gone out and done presentations on sound healing. And so people come for the sound healing, and then they go, oh, isn't this great? It's music that I can really relate to. That I can also understand, you know, has a healing aspect to it.
Mm-hmm. If you have to understand it's a healing music to be healed by it, can it happen kind of in the background, you know, kind of the hard drive of your brain without you realizing it? Or do you have,
absolutely,
is this something
yeah. It can be very unconscious. And I have learned, or I guess I postulate that people often, that's what they're looking for in the music that they already listen to. There's a lot of incredible music out there, and I think a lot of what we're attracted to, it's what I realized in myself as I started learning about this and thinking about, well, what music am I drawn to? What music affects me? A lot of it, I realized, oh, I was seeking some sort of comfort or some sort of healing aspect there, and some of it was obvious, and some of it, was unconscious and not as on the surface.
Well, that leads to a whole longer conversation that unfortunately we don't have time for, but the idea of art, what is art really? I mean, what do I like, the Grateful Dead, and someone else likes, Foghat.
Yeah, or our voices, are so individual. You might just really be attracted to a certain tone quality, and someone else goes, "Eh, that guy drives me nuts."
I'm sitting here wondering why I said Foghat, actually. Mean,
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
really, like junior high school or something.
Yep.
Anyway, Greg, this has been very, very enjoyable and very interesting. Could you please repeat where folks can get a hold of your music and hear?
Yes. Yeah, it's available through iTunes and Amazon, Google Play, and definitely through CD Baby.
And your website is at www.
GregBishopMusic.com.
Great. Greg, I'd like to thank you very much. Like I said, this has been very, very interesting, and I really appreciate very much you taking time out.
Thank you. Thanks, Carl, for having me on. It's been a real pleasure.
Great. This is Carl Weinschenk for the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please stop by to hear great music, podcasts, interviews, playlists, and to sign up for free email newsletters. Thank you very much, everybody. Bye-bye.
Ha ha ha!